Very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumper Prep Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, now Oxfam Straight Talkers return to Canberra for Wiyi Yani Yuthangani. I hope the pronunciation right, National Summit. And that's from the strong cultural side of Annie June Oscar. Well, we're going to catch up a yarn with Carly Forrest, who's consultant on the line. Carly, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. I'm doing well.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
Yeah, so my mob is Menindanji mob from West Queensland, Roma, Landers, Anderson family connection out that way, and I live here on the Sunshine Coast on Gubbi 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 country, have lived here since I was 3 years old, so a long time now.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, my sister. Beautiful footprint, and big shout out to all your mob there. So the National Summit, look, thank you, leading away by Social Justice Commissioner Annie June Oscar. No significant time in the inaugural summit. So tell us about the summit. Give us a bit of background, please, and what people can expect.
Yeah, so when Annie June was named into the role of Social Justice Commissioner, she actually put this body of work forward as a major piece, which was to really hear the voice of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women from all across the country, get what their experience was firsthand. Mm. And I was part of those initial consultations when they came through Brisbane back in around 2018 from my memory. And you know, we went there and we did a full day of workshopping, and we just gave our experience across the board of everything, every facet of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women and experience in this country. And you know, that was the first body of work that has really been focused across the board, because you know, we've got things that are focused in on work, education, domestic violence, different parts and sectors that affect women in this country, but this really encompassed everything. Grassroots mob to professional women, you know, women in the political sphere, CEO, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women in those highest levels of organisations. And then, you know, our aunties, mothers, grandmothers on country in remote communities. Nobody was left out of this conversation. So that body of work occurred, and a report was released a couple of years ago, and that outlined the experiences, the next steps. And they'd always identified that the getting together of women into this national summit would be the culmination of this body of work, which has been Annie June Oscar's pinnacle body of work that she's produced in this role for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women. So that's where the summit sort of came about, and it was to speak of the next steps, you know, go through that framework and the implementation and where we would be going next. And, you know, when this body of work started out, it was the thought that maybe an advisory committee to government would be formed as part of this. But now when we get there and we were at the summit, what's been announced is that it's actually grown so much bigger than that. And, you know, there is actually going to be an institute for First Nations gender, justice and equality.
I've got goosebumps here. Carly, that's fantastic. I've got goosebumps here. And look, leading the way.
Yeah, you know, pretty amazing outcome.
Exactly.
And a really big, you know, next step. And
yeah, for sure.
This will be a legacy and this will continue. And,
exactly.
You know, the summit has been a once-in-a-generation piece of work to be a part of.
And, look, it's a beautiful platform. And
look,
can you hear me? Hello? No, I'll get Carly back. Carly, it's Carly Yana there with Sister Carly Forrest, and talking about the Oxfam Straight Talkers return to Canberra for the Wiyi Yani Yu Thangani National Summit. So it's a conference for First Nation women across this country, and it's fantastic. So we'll get Carly back and continue that yarn, and that is led by Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner Annie June Oscar AO. So fantastic, beautiful space. We'll get Carly back. Was having a deadly yarn with Carly Forrest and talking about the National Summit for our deadly sisters out there, First Nation women. Carly, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. Caught everything you said. Looked so fantastic. And like I said, hats off to Annie June Oscar, AO, and the work that she's doing. So passionate about it. But it becomes a powerful platform. and this becomes an annual event. You're saying that, and it should be that way inclined for all our First Nation women to be at the table and converse about going forward and all facets, whether it be culture, whether it be business, whether it be an auntie, a mother, a grandmother. It's powerful, isn't it?
That's right, exactly, Trev. So powerful. And in prelude to the summit, they actually had a one full day youth workshop. And at the end of the conference, the youth presented their...
For young girls, was that Carly?
Yeah, it was. I think it was 18 to 25 year olds were invited to do the pre-summit before the official conference started, and worked through everything and capturing their voice from that young women under 25 perspective. And it was just so amazing to hear from them and their findings. And I can tell you that all of our futures in safe hands with deadly young women like that.
Yes. Well, success breeds success. That's the thing I'm picking up there, you know, and leading from the front. And, you know, well, let's throw it out there. Girls can do anything, you know. And we need more of our sisters in the leadership roles, you know, whether it be business owners, whether it be chairpersons, whether it be MPs, Member of Parliament. But we're having our black sisters there leading from the front. That's got to be a must.
Definitely, that's right. And one of the Honourable Māori ministers actually delivered a really great quote to us during her keynote, and it said, "If you haven't got a seat at the table, you're on the menu when it comes to decision making."
Yeah, there it is.
And you know, I think that just really stood out to a lot of us, and none of us want to be on the menu.
Well, exactly, and that's a beautiful statement, isn't it? And it puts you in the action mode, doesn't it?
No one's
eating me. I'm going full on.
That's right.
That is too deadly. So, Carly, what are you doing with yourself now? You're a consultant. Tell us your background, sister, before I let you go, and what you're doing with yourself now.
Yeah, so I've spent the last 12 years working in higher education in the vet sector, and I have a bachelor degree in business management, HR and marketing. So I've always worked in that marketing engagement space. I've worked both in mainstream roles, but also roles for MOB. And it's just been, you know, a wonderful breadth of experience. And I'm now back and I'm on a pathway to hopefully undertake my PhD within the next year. And to do that, I'm doing some coursework, postgraduate research study, and have set myself up on a consultancy, with a consultancy. So really what I'm focused on doing, and, you know, I want to work across all areas and provide MOB with those skills to help grow and scale their business. So I've gotten a lot of those mainstream business, management, HR, marketing skills, which, you know, sometimes our MOB, when they're starting out, we're so entrepreneurial by nature and we've got all these wonderful ideas and we can execute things. But sometimes it's that, you know, code switching and walking into that business world and understanding exactly what you need to set up your business structure, how to, you know, deliver your business, market your business, all of those bits and pieces, get grants, write grants, which is, you know, a particular formula. And I've had experience with that in my roles working in higher education in the vet sector. So I want to be able to give back those skills and help Indigenous business owners and entrepreneurs to grow and scale their business and, you know, be successful in getting grant money and set up really good processes. So that's what I sort of put myself out there. My research I'm looking at doing is specifically around Indigenous branding. So we've had a really big growth in retailers partnering with Indigenous artists to bring out co-branded products. So we've seen it in Myers, Australia Post, David Jones, Officeworks, these big national retailers are now seeing the value in authentically co-branding product ranges, putting it out there to mainstream. So in my PhD, and there's nobody doing any research on this because it is, you know, a fairly new part of the Indigenous arts market, arts sector. So I want to see how it's impacting our MOB, how you know, what their experience has been in these collaborations. Has it been genuine, fair, and, you know, how they've utilised social media to promote and grow and increase engagement with consumers across the board for those who have engaged in these types of partnerships. So that's sort of where my focus is now, what I'm looking at doing. I kind of feel I've given my time to the system, and I want to give it, you know, utilize those skills that I've gained and acquired through that to give back to MOB and help build MOB up.
Well, exactly, and it's leading from the front, and in my eyes, you are a professor, so you just keep doing what you're doing, Carly. Fantastic. Fantastic.
Thank you,
and
Jeff.
And it's about leading from the front. And you know, given our mob out there, like I said, who are entrepreneurs, a pathway, yes. so to speak. I've always said that we are wealthy just being, you know, for being black. We just got to get
That's
proactive,
right.
get our skin in the game, you know, and be at the table.
Yeah, and you know, these systems, especially business and commercial systems, have been built to exclude us. And it's really our time to rise up and, you know, claim our rightful place, because we, you know, we come with so much wealth of knowledge, traditional knowledge, and all that underpinning ancestral knowledge that comes with us every day and what we walk and you know, how we walk through life. So,
well, the business people of the world and the big companies, what have you, it's a great investment. If they are there to make money, you know what I mean? Investing in indigenous art or our space, that brings more money to the table.
That's right. And we come with this wealth of intellectual, cultural knowledge that nobody, you know, can take from us. It's like our inherent right being
that's
born
right.
as, you know, deadly blood followers. And they want that. They want that. Exactly. They want to commercialize that and that. But, you know, they need to walk beside us and listen to us and, you know, treat our mob and build our mob up with the respect that we all deserve.
Well, we say welcome to the 21st century for 60,000 years. We're here.
That's right.
My sister, good yarning with you, Carly. Thank you so very much. Keep doing you.
Thank
all
you.
The best, and we'll
Thanks,
keep in touch.
Chris. Thank you so much, Trevor. May I just throw in there to say a big thank you to Oxfam Australia and the Straight Talk. I was involved in that program in 2013, and to be able to have the opportunity to, you know, apply for sponsorship to attend the National Summit has been amazing. Reconnect with a strong group of 10 women who are from all different years, alumni years of Straight Talk, was amazing, and to hear their stories and be inspired. And I really appreciate Oxfam for this support.
Beautiful words. Thank you, my sister. You take care.
Thank you, Trev. Take care. Thanks a lot.
Bye, Carly.
Bye.
Deadly young, beautiful young there. That's Carly Forrest, and a consultant in her own right now, and stepping into the marketing form and business and promoting business to our black people, the entrepreneurs, so to speak, of the 21st century. To Deadly, have you seen Yana Strong? Added the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I come from the land down under, all of my Australia. Go, Maritia, Wanga, Lily. You better run, you better take a from the land down under, all over both my Australia. Go Marikia Wanga Lili, both my Wanga, living under one sun. I come from the land down under, all over my Australia. From the land down under. Can you see, can you feel the wonder? Bookmark Malawangan, living under one sun.
Yeah, that's Down Under the Sun, King Stingray, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn, is yours truly, Trevor Tim, 2012 Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. National Talk Black, one-hour program. We come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, your mob? Let's look at the story of the news and top headlines. Children in school bus crash suffer amputations, head and spinal injuries. Some of the children hurt when a truck smashed into their school bus near Melton have suffered catastrophic injuries, with one student in intensive care in hospital. So a truck driver remains in custody after the vehicle he was driving allegedly crashed into the school bus on Melbourne's Western Fringe on Tuesday, seriously injuring 10 children. Sad affair there. Another sad affair. Indigenous man. This man has spent nearly 40 years in prison for a crime he says he didn't commit. Derek Bromley has spent almost 40 years in South Australian prison for murder he doesn't. He says he didn't commit. He's making one last bid for freedom this week. Russell Malira only got to know his brother, Derek Bromley, as a prisoner behind bars, but he says he's very proud of what he has done. Part of the Stolen Generations, the Noorunga Girindiri men were taken from their children as taken from their parents as children. Here's my brother, and we haven't had much time together. We haven't had opportunity to grow together, Mr. Malira says, but he's still my brother, and I still love him. Bromley and another man, John Carpini, were jailed for life in 1984 for the murder of Stephen DeCosa, whose body was found in Adelaide River Torrens. Bromley, who is in his 60s, has now been in prison for 39 years. He has been eligible for parole since 2006, but he has continued to maintain his innocence. It has been denied. I'm very, very proud of what he's done, Mr. Malira says. The way he stood up to all the temptations to get out of jail, he stood up to that and stood up for his personal values, which is truth. Carpini was granted parole in 2004 after agreeing that the evidence used in the case found him guilty. Okay, the news here. Voice support slides again as debate rages over model. The sharp fall in support includes pivotal shifts against the voice in big states such as Queensland and volatile swings in smaller states. Support for the Indigenous voice has tumbled from 58 to 53% over the past month in the crucial yes or no question that will decide a referendum on the issue later this year, depending on the risk of defeat that furiously disputes on the change. Other news here, Keisha Weir-Pirtz, stepfather Robert Smith's new life in Sydney after 12 years in jail. Tracked down after his release from jail 13 years after he covered up a murder of Keisha Weepard by stuffing her body in a suitcase and setting it alight. Robert Smith still can't say, "I'm sorry." So that's that news. Regional Australia, property market dips as prestige areas give up pandemic gains. Big beneficiaries of regional migration during COVID, such as Byron Bay, have been hit hardest by increasing interest rates, experts say. That's in the renting department. The news here. Mundine Price falsely claim Milwaupara man as Vincent Lingiari's grandson to push no campaign. The high-profile opponents of The Voice to Parliament both posed Stuart Lingiari's photo to social media, but he says he has no relation to the famous land rights activist. A Milwaupari man has said he did not know what the voice to Parliament was when he was filmed reading anti-voice settlements that were written for him. Stuart Lingari's image was then posted to the social media sites of Warren Mundine and Senator Jacinta Price with the quote, I don't want you to look at me differently. That's why I'm voting no. An investigation of this has uncovered that Mr. Mundine and Senator Price had misidentified Mr. Lingari as the grandson of legendary stockman and land rights campaigner Vincent Lingari. It's a different family altogether, Mr. Lingari told NITV. The Milpuri man said he was distressed to find himself in the centre of a voice debate, which he only discovered after niece member rang him. I don't want this to be happening. It's a disgrace to me and to my family, Kalajindri. The image and quote are still present on the Fair Australian website. Okay, that's the news there. That's the headlines for today. We'll look at some First Nation news as well. But look, add to the conversation here on your daily program, National Talk Black, Voice for Our People. All topics, all ears here. And Yana with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Our plains, from the mountains to the sea, it's my dreaming. My people, this country is me. Didn't buddy Dungari, from the mountain range to sand. For generations we built foundations and roamed this land. Ochre on my face, connected to this place when time began. Sugarloaf, down to the sea, my people meet for song and dance. What are we? Too black for y'all? Can't handle y'all. Some people murder my trauma, I'll give it all back to ya. They try to get rid of us, unspoken genocide. They tried to wipe us out, but surprise, mob survived. Old burnt bridge, let me take you back. 1863, living in a tin shack. Flower sugar tea never gave us jack. But we have a culture and you can't take that. Mish men pulling up three cars in black. Running next door so we don't get snatched. Welfare pack. They take our kids and they don't come back.
What's that, Mr. Prime Minister? Won't answer the boys from Kinchala.
Uncle told us, he asked you why.
Bro didn't say nothing, did you, bro?
Let's talk about Kudamundra and the girls 16 and under. Kids taken into slavery, names became a number.
Power and my power makes them scared. They try to silence us,
we became weapons instead.
More black teachers, black leaders, black thinkers, black dreamers, believers.
Black seekers, black speakers, and more black cultural keepers.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, CBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
master. You keep on taking, digging down deeper, losing my high vibration. Oh, I feel my body aching. Give me that good energy, good energy, good energy. Stop taking it away from me, away from me, away from me. Just give me that good energy, good energy, good energy. Stop taking it away from me, away from me, away from me. See, I'm getting tired of your shit. Just give me that good love. Hey, sister, sister, you just know they can't resist her. All that money, ain't it funny how they act? And I won't let you dismiss her. She's our mama, she's our healer. Keep on trying, keep on fighting, take it back. Give me that good energy, good energy, good energy. Stop taking it away from me, away from me, away from me. Just give me that good energy, good energy, good energy. Stop taking it away from me, away from me, away from me. I'm getting tired of your shit. Just give me that good love. Good love, that good, 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 good love. Whoa, whoa, all I want is good vibration. Something real to heal our nation. Make up for lost generation. Song lines lost in colonization. I only feel something changing before we kill what's remaining. Take back the ways that are ancient. Taking it away from me, away from me, away from me. I'm getting tired of your shit. Just give me that good love. Give me that good love. Give me that good love.
Thinking about your body next to mine.
Hey, love, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
To Deli and Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Jessica Malvoy, thank you very much. Big promo there. Shout out, thank you. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarnin with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Digi Country as BBM Bumber Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can also text our brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. They call it Facebook. Sometimes they call it Sookbook, you know, big face. Either way, any communication got going on, then please do so. Are we going to jump into the next segment? Which Way Yarning? That's with the Edmonton Police, and proudly sponsored by Piconi's, IGA, and Brinsmead. And they give us a box of food here at Bummer Bripper once a week. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Chew on a banana rather than a Mars bar. Yes, it is. And having choices in life, deadly choices. All right, with that, we've got Stephen Grant, PLO, Police Liaison Officer, and he's brought a couple of bodyguards, Senior Constable Casey Leishman, and she's got a bodyguard, Constable Lachlan Steeden. Yes, we were talking about that. Good morning to you all. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor.
Yep, morning, morning, Steve.
Good morning, Trevor. Thank you for having us in today.
Thank you for coming in.
G'day, Trevor.
Lachlan. Steedon. Mm-hmm. We were talking about that. So Constable, first year, surname Steedon.
Yep.
We're talking rugby league, the pigskin.
That's it.
So you got affiliation with that brand?
My grandfather, he was a man. He's a man that...
Is that right?
Yep.
So you're Constable...
Ray Charles Steedon.
Yep. Is that his name?
Steedon.
Big shout out, Mr. Steedon. Yep. So Constable Lachlan Steedon / entrepreneur, millionaire. Please job on the side.
Or Constable, yeah. Better.
Yeah, Steedon, we love that. Steedon, Rugby League, NRL. Represent my beautiful father Dan to NRL Magic last week. So, yes, all plenty of Steedons, my friend. So good on your names on that ball. So have you ever played league yourself?
Just through high school.
Just through high school?
Yeah, yep.
Well, I'm coaching Kangaroos under 13, rugby league here in Cairns. Big shout out, Gold Team, big shout out. And Coach Dwayne and Manager Helen, thank you very much. So what happens is when I teach the young fellas, when the ball is kicked to you, read the writing. Read Steedon.
That's it.
What I teach you. If you're reading the words, you're catching the ball.
And don't drop it.
Don't drop it. So you are in our life, my brother.
That's it.
All right, beautiful. Over to the pretty lady, Senior Constable Casey Leishman. How are you, Casey?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Trevor?
I'm well, thank you. So, Senior Constable, how long have you been in the force? And that means you're Lachlan's boss. No, it doesn't.
Lachlan's an equal partner. We share everything.
Ignore the epaulets.
Yeah, we equals.
How long you been in the force there, Casey?
About 14 years now.
All right.
So I'm lucky enough, I've known Steve since my first year.
Steve Grant, so is that right?
Yeah.
That long. And you're based at Edmonton?
I'm based at Cairns City. Domestic and Family Violence Vulnerable Persons Unit.
Okay, rightio. And we'll talk about that, that deadly unit. And Stephen Grant, who your mob were you from, brother?
Good morning, Trevor. Steve Grant, proud Jitterbull Murray, from the far north regions of the Tully Rainforest area, Cardwell, and the lovely Herbert Valley.
Gumboot country.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
What is town in Australia?
Yes.
Just down the road. Get that snorkel out of your mouth so I can understand what you're saying, brother. Listen, over to Casey. Casey, we're talking about... cohesive control. So educate this black man regarding cohesive control. What is that?
Yeah, so this month is Domestic and Family Violence Prevention Month.
Yes.
The theme this year, it's In Your Control, Coercive Control.
Okay.
For the listeners that don't know, coercive control is a pattern of behaviours where one person, I'll refer to them as the perpetrator in this situation,
okay,
uses the behaviours against the victim, survivor, to create a climate of fear, isolation, intimidation, humiliation. So they're trying to control that person's life and what's going on.
And that is a form of violence, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So they may not use physical violence. Mm. They might just be able to intimidate that person to do what they want. So sometimes it's non-physical violence, being able to control that person's life.
You can ask someone to do something, but you can't force them to do it. Yeah, that's right.
But you can intimidate them to do what you want. So they might not need to use physical violence to obtain what they want. They might be able to control that person's life by intimidating them. So sometimes we have women, the little women, with a big partner.
Partner, thank you. Okay.
Partner might not need to use physical force to get that person to do what
just
they want.
Just stand up, say the words, and then before long she's doing what he wants. Mm. Yeah,
sometimes
that's
it's
right.
The tone of their voice, how they look at them. Mm. You know, when we're in relationships, we can read that other person very well.
Sure.
And how.
And we all humans have a right to live our life how we see fit.
Yeah.
And not under anyone's control.
Yes. So we all should be free to live our lives without fear.
Yes. And the rules and regulations are out there to support us and protect us and give us a good life, so to speak. So, yeah, so often this is relationships?
Yeah, so a domestic violence relationship can be classed as a family relationship. So it could be brothers, sisters, mum, dad, cousins.
Okay, it's not
just a
husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend.
It can be husband and wife,
yep.
But there's other...
It's not only that, but...
a lot broader.
Yeah.
Especially in our communities up here where family members, maybe extended family...
Sure.
In some cultures, but in other cultures, it's a cousin, that we see as our brother or sister.
Mm.
So if that person's using that power and control over them,
yeah, for wrong reasons,
that domestic violence relationship.
What some sort of behaviours includes?
So it could be degrading put-downs. It might be calling them offensive names, humiliating and threatening them. It could be gaslighting them. So for listeners that haven't heard of this, gaslighting is where someone does actions. So the perpetrator, for example, like the victim might come in and put their keys down in a certain place and they might be changing where those keys are and then questioning the victim about it, at which point the victim then questions their own...
Thought pattern.
They start to think, oh, did I move those keys or did I do this?
And that's called gaslighting.
Yeah.
I never heard that phrase.
It's getting the victim to question their own reality, I guess, to the point that the victim starts to lose grip on reality because that
control. I just saw gaslighting and I'm thinking, oh, no, changing everything. We're not going electricity. We're going gas. You laugh about it, Stephen. I've never heard that phrase, gaslighting, but that's a form of...
It comes from a 19...
Mental bullying. Mental bullying, okay. It comes from where, sorry,
Casey? 1948, it's a black and white film.
Oh.
And in the film, the male perpetrator turns the gas lights off on the victim and keeps questioning the victim about whether they've lit the gas lights or, you know, because the gas lights are always on or they're always off.
So stem from that, hence the title, gaslighting, to control...
Yes.
In the mental sense.
Yes.
Whoa, there you go. What other behaviours there?
So it could be monitoring their movement and their behaviours. So stalking, not just physical stalking, but using electronic devices, tracking their social media, wanting to have access to their social media.
Yes.
Financial control, so getting them to share their money when payday.
Give me your pay, yep.
Transfer.
Yeah, give me your bank details, yep. Password.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Transferring money out of their account, leaving them no money for the kids to do stuff, and then controlling that money and limiting the access they have and being able to control their life through controlling the finances.
Yep. What other statements there?
So we have removing reproductive control, and that could be on either side. So sometimes... a perpetrator might remove reproductive control because they want a victim to have a child, so it ties them together.
Oh, yeah, capturing them by having a child. Yes, yeah, okay, yes, yes, yes.
You continue
then
to have that contact for life.
Yeah,
because you have a child,
gotcha.
Don't... Once you've got children together, you're sort of linked together. So, and it could be...
Because this is not in my space, you know what I mean? And for you to mention it, this goes on, doesn't it? This happens.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And sometimes it's happening and we don't recognise it ourselves. So we're, you know, victim survivors might be in that situation and they don't understand what's going on.
Well, that could be two parties as well. The female could fall pregnant for that reason.
Yes, yes.
Or the male may push the pregnancy for that reason.
Yes.
So either could be at fault here.
Yeah, that's a twofold.
Yeah, twofold, yes, exactly.
One party might want to continue the contact.
Mm, okay. Micromanaging?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're managing their lives.
Yes.
So I've had a case where someone, when they go out and drive the car would always be set with a certain amount of fuel. It was never enough for the victim to leave.
Ah, like a quarter tank, so they can't drive to Townsville.
They can't drive to Townsville because there's
the
a
family?
Quarter tank.
Yeah,
they
gotcha.
Monitor the finances, so they can't use the bank account because the perpetrator knows. And then he's tracking the kilometres and stuff like that. So micromanaging someone's life so that they can't leave what's going on. They're just...
Cohesive control. This is
coercive control.
Cohesive control. Murray Bagley, you're trying to pronounce it. Now, for people out there who are listening, some of think this is all hogwash, what have you. I like to think I live in a beautiful life and love and respect and partner and everything's all good and communication. But there are people out there who are victims of these statements.
Yes.
And they're living in fear.
Yes.
You know? And for the so-called bullies or the perpetrator, as you mentioned, they're turning the channel, not listening no more. You know what I mean? So this is real and it happens.
It does happen.
And we're talking about it here on National Talk Black. So, yeah, continue on. What's the percentage of calls, cases, are DV related?
Yeah, so in the period 2020 to 2021, we had 120,000 calls for domestic and family violence for incidents.
Queensland alone.
Queensland alone. So
for 1 year, 120,000 domestic and family violence incidents.
Yep, that's about.
And that's all types of actions.
Yep. So they're the ones coming
physical,
into our
mental,
call centre.
Financial, 120,000. And that's 120,000 too many.
Yeah.
We need to stamp it out. Yep.
Yeah. So it is a concern. I think us as a community, we can change it though.
Yeah.
It's
yes.
not something QPS are going to change.
No.
Alone.
No.
We need
it's
everyone.
Everybody, exactly.
Everyone to help us.
Sure.
And, you know, educating people out there now. Like you said, people don't understand that these are offences or these are, you know, what coercive control is.
Yeah.
We need to get it out there so that
sure, exactly.
everyone knows.
Exactly. So we need to do our bit. Keep our eyes and ears open. If you ain't going to intervene, then I don't make a phone call or you know, talk to somebody to talk to what's going on, family members or what have you.
Yeah.
And need to protect our loved ones.
Yeah, and we've got ways of reporting. So you can do the 131444, which is the call for non-urgent, or 000 for urgent.
Yes.
There's also online reporting. So you can jump on Google QPS domestic violence reporting, and there's online ways of sending information to the police.
Yes.
If you want that information to remain anonymous or...
That can be done.
Yeah.
So then you're not involved, but you are protecting a potential victim, so
yes.
to speak.
Yes. Mm. So giving sufficient details so that we can identify who they are and yeah. stuff like that, then we can take it from there.
Look, this is a yucky situation, but domestic violence has got to stop. A lot of people are getting hurt. If not, fatality rises, you know, and we need to stamp it out in the community.
Yeah. I think the community does do a good job in identifying stuff when it happens, but it's more awareness, making sure everyone knows that when it's happening, we're calling, because sometimes that person might not be able to make that call.
Sure, exactly.
You well, might exactly. be the only lifeline.
They don't have a phone because the partner has the phone.
Yeah.
You're not making a phone call. No phone calls.
Yeah.
Well, so what would be the general protocol when responding to these calls?
Yeah. So obviously if police general duties go out, we'll try and make sure the victim survivor is safe for a start. So we're just trying to make sure the situation is safe, get everything under control.
And do you remove that potential victim or that victim as such from the situation?
We can. We can take them to the station. We can obtain statements and stuff like, you know.
So who do you take, perpetrator or the victim?
Depends on the situation.
Okay, thank
Depends
you.
On when we get there.
Okay, right.
Perpetrator might not be there.
Okay, yep,
perpetrator
yep.
might be there. We might be able to obviously remove them.
Mm-hmm.
Victim might be there. Victim survivor, we take into account what they want. They
sure.
might not want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So then we obviously go through different scenarios to see what best suits each situation.
Okay.
And by that point, there also could be an order in place between both parties.
Okay.
So between both members, that also comes into consideration.
Yes.
There was a situation this morning where a crew had to attend a job and it was reported by the neighbour.
Okay.
So a lot of those incidents do occur.
And there's the neighbour, constituent, helping out with the situation.
Yep. Yeah, so that's what we want our listeners, obviously, to think about, obviously, next time. You know, people can have arguments.
Yeah, sure.
That's fine. Everyone, if you're in a healthy relationship, you can argue healthily.
Yep.
And sort your differences out. But there's a difference between an argument where someone has a disagreement and someone in that relationship being the one that's dominating the other person.
Which is a coercive control?
Coercive control.
Coercive control, yes. That's what that is, that action on that. In the physical, mental, financial sense, what have you. Yep. Okay. So very important, yeah. It's so what's the most difficult part of for you when you're faced with a DV case?
I think it's like the toll on our frontline police officers, like Lachlan, is going to the jobs and seeing the domestic violence that's occurring within people's houses.
Sure.
And seeing that.
But your job, not, Lachlan, your job's not only DV situations.
Mm.
You're on the road doing your job.
Yeah, of course.
But when you come to a DV situation, you must see some horrific stuff.
It can be pretty stressful, and especially seeing what victim survivors have to go through, especially when there's children involved.
Yeah.
Your heart just goes out to them, and it's really sad.
Mm, exactly.
That these people are going through this.
And look, it could be an argument, as you mentioned, Casey, but if this is continuing arguing, then it's out of control.
Yeah.
And then actions start to happen that shouldn't be happening, and now we have a perpetrator against a victim, don't we? Yeah.
And it might be things that you can hear as well.
Sure.
You might be able to hear the argument. We all live usually within close proximity up here, except for, like, obviously it's a bit different if you're in the outer remote areas, maybe not, but if you're in the city where it's a bit more densely populated, sometimes you can hear what it's about, and you might hear that conversation and hear and think, that doesn't sound right to me.
Exactly.
Like what that person's saying, that's not right, what they're doing to that other person.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. So, do you, as police officers, have you got like specific training in the DV sector?
Yep. So at the moment, Queensland Police has rolled out since August last year a 3-day holistic training. So everyone's, every police officer, our PLOs, our admin officers,
go through that training.
Even the superintendent down has been to the training. And this is just to train them to have a better knowledge of coercive control.
Yes.
It focuses on us taking a holistic approach when we're going to the each incident now. So rather than just looking at one little incident and seeing what's happened, we're looking through a whole history of what's happening with these, the victim and the perpetrator, to understand why the behaviour is happening.
Yes. What can we do? What's one thing we can do to help spread awareness for people going through DVD?
I think
aid people, how we can help them.
Yeah. Encouraging the victim survivor to talk. So sometimes they're not ready to report to police, and that's fine. You know, they're the ones that are going to know best how to manage their situation. But having someone to talk to be able to disclose what's going on, keeping records. If they are saying stuff to you, encourage them to keep some sort of record of what's going on. There's apps where you could, like, you know, if they're telling you stuff, you can record it in an app or record it somehow.
Yeah.
So you as a friend or a family member can support them.
Yes.
And encourage them to report to police. Like I said, there's multiple ways to report to police. You don't have to come to the station, although we welcome people coming to the station. We've got soft rooms available now at the Cairns Police Station. So when
some people are victims are under so much control by the perpetrator that they can't communicate directly to the police.
Yeah.
So whatever means necessary.
Yep.
Have and the communication.
Sometimes it might be that family member coming forward on their behalf and telling police what's going on. So
would the police act on that?
Investigating.
Yeah. Would the police act on that?
Yeah.
Would they?
Yeah, we investigate.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, we can try and...
Because you understand in the DV process that sometimes the victim can't speak.
Yeah.
So if someone's speaking for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't look at it as a he say, she say, a third person involved or outside the situation. You take the information board and then you go query it.
We go
act on it.
Yeah, and we've got all sorts of ways of identifying information within police resources.
Good.
So... obviously, I encourage victim survivors to have some trust in police. Sometimes, you know, it can be a bit hard. Mm. But we're at the end of the day, police, we're all here to help.
Exactly.
We want to stop what's going on.
Well,
so
exactly.
And the police also, KPS also does is supply reference groups to help those ones in need, referrals.
Yep.
Out there.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What's a common misconception of DV?
I think the biggest one I come across is that people think it only happens to a certain demographic of society.
Yeah.
That's not true. I've been to business people's houses that are quite affluent. I've been to lower socioeconomic. I've been to different cultures, races, religion. Mm. Anyone can be a victim of domestic violence. Anyone can be a perpetrator of it. It's not something that affects any particular demographic within our community.
Okay.
Just don't feel like it's happening because of something in particular. It can happen to anyone.
Okay. Last minute plug regarding DV.
Yeah. So we've got Behind the Doors of Domestic Violence, which is presented by the Queensland Police Service. It's a 5-part podcast series hosted by Dean Cooper from Griffith University, and it's an initiative of the QPS Media and Public Affairs and the Domestic and Family Violence Command. So anyone that wants to know a bit more about domestic violence should jump on and have a listen to that. It's got victim survivors talking about what's happened to them and since they've left. Mm. It's got advice on bystanders, on how to, what they can do to help the victim survivor.
Yes.
it talks about identifying.
It's a nice platform.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. And it's on Spotify and Apple. Sorry, I don't know what the Apple podcast. So well, you can just jump on and listen.
Actually,
to
a 12-year-old kid had to find it.
Yeah, they're up with all the stuff, you know, Snapchat, what have you. Hey, listen, son, how do I find this?
That's why I brought Lachlan with me today.
There you go. Yeah, Lachlan.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Whip me on the ears. Got your floaties on.
Hey, beautiful yarning with you. Thank you very much. All the best, Lachlan.
Thank you.
Casey, thank you.
Thank you.
My brother, man.
Trevor.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
And big shout out to Sergeant Glenn Dolai.
Glenn Dolai.
And where's he at?
He's currently...
He's not acting anywhere, is he?
No, he's currently in a meeting at the Cairns station presently, and I've got to pick him up very shortly.
Oh, very shortly. Don't be late in picking him up then, brother. Hey, nice yarn to you guys. All the best. Yeah, you take care, eh?
Thanks,
Trev. Thank you for having us.
Good one. Beautiful yarn there with the guys and girls in blue, which were yarning segment, and talking to our deadly Edmonton police. And the topic today was cohesive control. And thus, control is a pattern of abusive behaviours by perpetrator used against the victim and comes in all forms, physical, mental, financial, emotional, all the above. And we need to stamp it out. We need to love and respect each other. And no one's got a right to be under control or under someone's control. There it is. Have you seen Yana Strong? Keep your eyes and ears open. Protect. Comes the time when Trinity Trev signs off for today's program. Y'all, thank you for your yarn. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Got the news coming up very soon via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So take a listen to the news. You know how the news start. They say, good morning. It's the last good thing they tell you. But the news is the news. Take it on board, you mob. Too deadly.